All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you again for your time on this relatively short turnaround with having yet another meeting. We have a few but very important agenda topics to cover today as we close out this year with our final meeting. So I will now call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. Carolyn Peterson.
Good morning.
Robert Wild.
Present.
Michael Adcock.
Present.
Christina Caraballo. Okay, not yet. Tina Esposito.
Here.
Cynthia Fisher. Okay. Valerie Gray.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anil James.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jim Georges. Not yet. Okay. John Kansky.
Yes, I'm here.
Ken Kalamoto.
Good morning.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Les Leonard. Not yet. Arian Malik. Nope. Quinn McDonald. Aaron Mary.
Good morning. Good morning.
Brett Oliver.
Oliver. Good morning.
Terry O'Malley.
Good morning. Good
morning. James Pincelis.
Good morning.
Raj Watwani.
Good morning.
Steve Reedy. Not yet. Okay. Abby Sears. Alexis Snyder.
Hello.
Sasha Termont.
Good morning.
Andy Tresca. Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Denise Webb.
Good morning.
Good morning. Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning.
James Ilsey. Ram Sharam.
Good morning.
Eddie Gundalapi. Jonathan Nebaker. Amy Abernathy. Okay. We'll circle back and hopefully others are able to join us from the.
Yeah, hey, Jim.
A little bit of echo from your end. You may want to mute your computer if possible. I believe that was Jim.
Yeah, Jim Georges, sir.
Great. Are there any others that have joined?
Got a couple in the chat room that joined as well.
Okay, I see Andy Truscott.
Hey, Lauren, this is Christina Caraballo. I'm on as well.
Hi, Christina. And I see we have Les on as well. Okay, great. Joining us from ONC, we have Elise Sweeney Anthony, our Executive Director of Policy, Avinash Shambhag, our Executive Director of Technology, Stephen Posnack, our Deputy National Coordinator, and Dr. Donald Rucker, our National Coordinator, and I will turn it over to Don for opening remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. Well, hello, everybody. Another meeting in our time of COVID, though hopefully, as folks have seen, the work on a vaccine looks like it's making some extraordinary progress. So hopefully these things will come to an end here in the not too distant future. We still have a number of resources on healthit.gov regarding COVID for folks if you can benefit from those. We're going to be doing the final report of the ICAD, Intersection of Clinical Administrative Data Task Force, and our draft work plan for the next year today. A couple of other things that you've probably heard of, but in case not, on October 29th, we announced our, and I apologize, but it is the federal government, so long titles, our interim final rule with comment, which for reasons that are inscrutable to me, but Elise Anthony can no doubt explain. We've abbreviated it as IFC. And that's titled Information Blocking and the ONC Health IT Certification Program, Extension of Compliance States and Timeframes in Response to the COVID-19 Public Health Emergency. Using the name to signal that fact. The rule hit the Federal Register on November 4th. And it extends the compliance dates and the timeframes necessary to meet some of the requirements related to information blocking and conditions and maintenance of certification. I want to be really clear. The point of this, we think the role, the underlying role, the interoperability role, is actually more important than ever. And if anything, in our rapid transformation to virtual, has pointed out the need, the importance of that, and seamless connectivity with industry standard APIs. So that we absolutely believe in, and I think has been shown. The dates were extended just simply because we're aware that a lot of IT departments, a lot of folks who would be working on some of the resources here have been busy with some of their COVID configurations, as I think people have adjusted to that. We've extended the dates by pretty much an exactly proportional amount. You can see on our website all the specifics of that. We also published on the 30th of October our final 2025 Federal Health IT Strategic Plan. That's a requirement of the federal government, and it gives a flavor. It really sort of faces federal agencies, but gives a flavor of what we believe the federal government can and should do to advance its very considerable portfolio touching on healthcare and healthcare interoperability and computerization. A couple specific items on the HITAC. We should have our HITAC co-chairs by or before our next meeting in January. I want to thank everybody who expressed interest in that. I especially want to thank Carolyn and Robert. This will be their last meeting officiating as co-chairs. They will, of course, remain on the HITAC for, and we look forward to picking their brains there. They've done a great job. I think we would all agree. We are expecting some additional congressional appointment notices by the end of the year. And with that, let me turn it over to Carolyn and Robert with thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Dr. Rucker. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone back so quickly after our October meeting. I know it's been a pretty quick turnaround, and we're getting to that time of year when things outside of work get really busy. So I very much appreciate everyone's coming today. I think we have some good presentations and an opportunity to wrap up some business with the ICAD report, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thanks, Carolyn, and good morning to everyone as well. And thanks, ONC, for ongoing support of this committee and all of you on the committee for your time and talent for what we're doing here. Wanted to review, as we always do, the agenda for today. We've already heard from the National Coordinator. We plan to hear from the Annual Report Work Group. And we have scheduled more time this meeting than we have in the past, so we hope to have a good discussion about the Annual Report Work Group's progress and feedback on where they go next with the report. We're going to review the final report from the Intersection of Clinical and Administrative Data Task Force, and make a vote on that today, if we can. And then we have time scheduled to review the 2021 draft work plan for the HITAC as well. And then we'll finish up our meeting with our scheduled public comment time at 12:15. As been said, it's been a relatively short amount of time since our last meeting, but as you saw from the large batch of documents, there's been a lot of work that's been done since then, and there's a number of things that we need to go ahead and take care of today, as this is our final meeting for the year. Next, I'd like to go ahead and approve the minutes of our October 21, 2020 meeting. They were sent out in advance. And first, are there any comments, corrections, or input on the October 21 meeting minutes? Hearing none, I'll have a vote. All those in favor of approval of the October 21, 2020 meeting minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. And any extensions? All right, hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved, and we'll proceed with the meeting. First on the agenda, as I said, is the HITACH Annual Report Work Group Update, and I'll turn it over to Carolyn and Aaron.
Thanks, Robert. So as you'll recall from the October meeting, we had a rather abbreviated presentation and decided to push the discussion forward to this meeting so that we could be sure to do everything we needed to do around ICAD and the ONC objectives. We have an hour today. We plan to go through the presentation and then to take all the questions and have discussion at the end of that. And we should be able to fit in a good discussion today. So if we could have the next slide, please. Again, what we're doing is going through our membership and meeting schedules, and then we will get into a discussion about the draft crosswalk of topics for the annual report. Next slide, please. Go ahead. So again, here's the work group schedule. We've had 7 meetings so far. We'll have another 2 before the end of the year, and then in January, present the draft report for the full HITACH review and commentary. Next slide, please. And again, here is another way of looking at our schedule, seeing you all next in January. Next slide, please. And then forward. So now we'll take a look at the draft crosswalk of topics. We put this crosswalk together as a way of trying to synthesize and make it easier to wrap our arms around the gaps, challenges, opportunities, and some possible and recommended HITACH activities. As you all know, we have many, many more topics that come up in discussion and things that people on the HITACH consider to be important, and some of those things are in the landscape analysis. In particular, we have some areas where we know something is important, but there isn't an obvious immediate need for something, and so we move that topic into the landscape so it's on our radar, but not in the way of work that we do want to accomplish. So with this crosswalk and in the report, we've organized the topics into our target areas that we've been working with in the Cures Act, interoperability, privacy and security, and patient access to information. And we've also added a fourth target area, use of technologies that support public health. This is something that arose out of the work we did earlier this year related to COVID and the important gaps and concerns that we identified for broader public health considerations as a result of that work. Next slide, please. So what Aaron and I want to do today is to review some of these topics and potential HITACH activities that are in the crosswalk. Not everything, but some of the things that we think are of greatest importance to the HITACH in the immediate future, and to get your feedback and to answer any questions that you have about this. So one topic that is of importance with regard to technologies that support public health is the exchange of clinical data. We see the gap as a need to collect information from clinicians and laboratories for public health reporting. And we've identified 4 potential HITACH activities. We could suggest HHS guidance on minimum necessary data sets for exchange for public health, for example, with laboratories, especially with regard to test order entry and case reporting. Second, we could hold a hearing to understand stopgap solutions implemented to improve reporting capabilities and assess whether additional long-term solutions are needed. Third, we could facilitate acceleration of the practical use of data standards to improve situational awareness for local, state, and federal government emergency response. And fourth, we could conduct a listening session to learn about the successes and the remaining barriers to exchange by HIEs to support public health, including how to expand their role I know that's a subject that we have talked about in other task forces, and we see an opportunity now to bring that forward in a more formal way. The second topic in this target area is privacy and security. Here, the gap is issues for biosurveillance efforts, telehealth, and remote monitoring. And again, we've identified four proposed activities. First, to help clarify what data can be collected and how it can be used. Second, to identify educational approaches that offer improved transparency of privacy protections applicable to contact tracing applications and biosurveillance technologies. Third, we could encourage the clinical workforce and patient education, re-education, on the use of technology for telehealth. And we see that as including smartphones, since we know the app ecosystem is growing and becoming a more prominent and critical part of the system. And finally, we could encourage guidance about privacy and security protections of public health information across varying state laws. Next slide, please. We have some additional topics in this area. Vaccine tracking. The gap here is a lack of access to data about unimmunized populations and where patients are obtaining vaccines so that at-risk groups can be targeted for interventions. And the proposed activity here is to hold a listening session to identify opportunities and barriers for healthcare and public health organizations and to highlight successful vaccine program interventions using predictive analytics. Another topic is patient matching. Here the gap is that key information is missing when shared from laboratories and contact tracing records. And the recommended activity would be to develop tactical recommendations based on ONC's forthcoming patient matching report to Congress, including consideration of expanded use of AI and related privacy and security concerns, and also increased alignment of government public health reporting requirements and guidance. Another topic in this area is international exchange of clinical data. Here we see the gap being that countries need more information about the health status of travelers. And the recommended high-tech activity here would be to hold a listening session to identify opportunities and barriers for the use of health IT in international exchange, as well as some lessons learned that can be applied domestically. We see that panelists might include the CDC, the World Health Organization, the Global Health Data Partnership, the Department of Commerce, perhaps clinician representatives, and privacy and security experts. Next slide, please. And now I will pass the mic to Aaron to go through some of the remaining target areas.
Thank you, Carolyn, and good morning, HITECH team. First off, before I get started here, I want to say again thank you to HHS, to ONC specifically. The ONC team that's been helping us has been phenomenal. And as you'll see as we go through the next target areas, you'll see a lot of thematic items that keep coming up and reoccurring in the various areas. So I encourage you as a HITECH to look at that and really pay attention to some of those themes and also how they apply also in your local area. And lastly, I do want to say thank you to Dr. Rucker and to the leadership team there at ONC for a lot of the work they've been doing. It is translating boots on the ground, especially here in Austin, Texas, as we're fighting another wave of COVID. So anyways, I want to give that real-time telemetry. All right. So with interoperability, the topic is exchange of health data across the care continuum. The gap is that we need obviously greater interoperability across the broader care continuum. Some of the activities proposed here, number one, learn more about recent developments and standards and exchange of areas, such as patient-reported outcomes, PROs. Look at things like the 2020 ARC report, SCOH data, the HL7 Gravity Project, other great work that's going on there, and see how we can incorporate that. Another activity proposed is to identify and help improve data streams, where interoperability is a challenge to sharing broader data sets, especially when a pandemic affects healthcare settings like long-term post-acute care and any transitions to and from those settings. The next item here is association between EHRs and patient safety. The gap is use of health IT can impact patient safety. Some recommended high-tech activities. Number one, we can review the changes that could be made to the health IT certification program to support improvements to EHRs to support patient safety. Number two, suggests that ONC conduct an initiative to further define patient safety and any gaps where technology does not support that definition, and then develop a roadmap for better health IT support for patient safety by 2023. And number three, collaborate with the FDA to explore the use of health IT and automating collection and sharing of data about adverse events for drugs and devices. Next slide. Another item here, exchange of social determinants of health data, SDOH. The gap, lack of standards and data availability, patient matching challenges and variation among community service providers' IT systems. So recommended activity number one, suggest updates on SDOH data for the ONC patient engagement playbook. Number two, convene a group of stakeholders from healthcare entities, payers, SDOH technology companies, community-based organizations, and standards development projects to understand the state of SDOH data exchange in practice and identify gaps and barriers. The next topic, increased health equity across populations, locations, and situations. To explain to all you, health equity means basically leveling the playing field so that everybody has access to data at the right place at the right time and meets the quadruple aim. The gap here, data is not systematically collected nor used to identify disparities in outcomes, healthcare, and risk. Our recommended activity, convene stakeholders, basically healthcare organizations, health IT developers, and patient advocacy groups to discuss, A, how to improve collection and sharing of data that can support identifying and addressing disparities in healthcare. Number two, the current state and potential improvements of the accessibility of consumer-facing health IT by diverse populations. And three, non-traditional sources of health information that can be made interoperable to better serve at-risk populations. To give you a 10-second real world what this means, case in point, when we put out an app to the public here for home monitoring and contact tracing for COVID-19, we had to make sure it supported multilingual support because we have a large Latinx community here in Austin, Texas, so having things available in Spanish helped make sure that there wasn't a barrier to entry in using those health systems. That's health equity. Next slide. Next topic here is sharing data with the research community, the gap. Concerns about data quality, governance, and access to data. Recommended activity, number one, hold listening sessions to learn more about the gaps and standards needed by the research community, which is accountable to institutional review boards. Number two, identify educational approaches that increase awareness and promote an implementation of the National Health IT priorities for research, a policy and development agenda. The next topic here is use of metadata. And I know we as high tech have talked about this many, many times, particularly in our standards committees. The gap here, many data management tasks are still manual that could be automated. We recommend charge a high-tax subcommittee to review and provide recommendations regarding metadata standards and potential additions to the U.S. CDI. Next slide. All right, next topic area is one of my favorites, of privacy and security. So the topic is rules for sharing beyond HIPAA. The gap is clear rules are lacking for data not subject to HIPAA protections. Recommended activity, one, hold listening sessions to learn more about HHS and FTC activities, as well as approaches of third-party app developers. Number two, explore the patient and clinician experiences with the sharing of health data with third-party technology companies to continue to identify the best practices and gaps. Then three, review government and industry activities already underway, protecting the privacy and security of health data shared with third-party technology companies. Another item here is around consent. The gap, a lack of clarity exists about the parameters of data sharing and disclosure and their implications for consent. So one, identify educational activities and potential regulatory solutions that offer improved transparency of privacy protections outside the purview of HIPAA. Two, suggest steps towards a consistent technical and operational approach to capturing and managing consent. Three, explore ways clinicians can educate patients about the benefits and potential risks of using third-party apps as contemplated by the ONC Cures Act final rule and about the need to review and comprehend the app's privacy policies. Next slide. All right, also beyond HIPAA, Internet of Things, the gap. I think we've all seen this in our day-to-day jobs. Security risk concerned about informed consent increase as IoT objects become more integrated with health IT systems. Recommended health, high-tech activity, number one, identify best practices for increasing the privacy and security of connected devices. Two, identify educational approaches that increase awareness of privacy and security issues related to the IoT and ways to reduce them. The next topic here, privacy and security of synthetic data. The gap, HIPAA constraints limit the ability to conduct research and train machine learning models using large-scale data sets. The recommended activity here is hold listening sessions to determine whether the use of synthetic data raises any unintended privacy risks, such as the ability to use AI to re-identify the actual patients on which the synthetic health data are based. Next slide. All right, patient access to information. The issue is safety and impact of mobile health apps. See a theme developing with the application ecosystem here? The gap. There's increasing concern about clinical accuracy of consumer-facing mobile health apps and the potential for patient harm. The recommended activity, number one, support the existing efforts of the consortia that are working to vet apps based on their safety and accessibility and educate patients about the findings of the consortia. In particular, investigative frameworks or scorecards for assessing apps exist or are being developed, if so, raise awareness on these efforts. Number two, explore ways the safety of mobile health applications could be enhanced. Number three, hold a listening session on the impact of the use of apps, as opposed to current portal systems, on patient challenges in collecting, accessing, using, and sharing their health data. Areas to consider include the efficiency, the effectiveness, patient experience, and the remaining challenges of use of apps. Topic area here, correction of incorrect clinical data and the ramifications of exchange of this data.
Wow.
The gap, I think someone needs to be on mute, please. The gap is transparency about the accuracy of patient data and consent to share it are lacking for patients. The recommended activity, number one, hold a listening session to identify approaches that clinicians and HIEs are taking to correct incorrect data, including incentives for widespread correction. Number two, discuss the liability considerations related to exchanging and correcting incorrect data. And three, learn about organizational policies and mechanisms for patients to document change requests and about how data provenance of patient corrections is being tracked. For a good real-world example, I would direct you to the pediatric subgroup that we had last year that really dove into medication dosing for kids and how incorrect dosages being sent across the way to, say, a pharmacy for dispensing could lead to adverse patient outcome errors. Next slide. All right. So that's the end of that. We definitely want to go back into these because there's a whole lot of meat here and a whole lot of discussion I'm sure we want to have. But it's time to hear from you, HITACH. Obviously, we have a few more meetings to go and consider and work through these, but your feedback is critical. Again, the ONC team, Carolyn and I, and the entire team here have tried to take all the feedback culminated over the past several months to put it into this slide deck and, of course, the corresponding crosswalk that you were all sent. We can definitely do more in-depth on the crosswalk later. There's just a lot of topics there. But I would like to go back to Carolyn's section here with public health. So, if operator, you could go back a few slides, and let's start there and just go topic area by topic area and make sure we capture your thoughts. So we could go back, please, a few slides.
And I want to second Aaron's comment about seeking feedback. We really do want to have a robust discussion today because we will have a good amount of time to address the feedback and adjust the report in November and December. But if this discussion doesn't come up until January, then it becomes more difficult to address that and deal with it and still get the report approved in a timely fashion. So we do really, truly want your feedback and thoughts. So here we are back at the beginning of our target areas. This is the area with regard to public health. And, of course, we're all very much aware of some of these issues because of the work that we did on COVID earlier this year. So what are we thinking about these topics and gaps in the proposed activities?
Looks like we have Stephen Lane's hand up first.
Good morning. I just wanted to provide first an overarching observation, which is that this is just a fabulous body of work and collection of issues that that need to be identified and brought forward. And I think that one of our significant challenges will be prioritizing them. I know that in a number of our task forces in the past, we have attempted to provide, you know, high, medium, low, or some sort of a rank ordering of issues, which I think is particularly important here because we're all aware that the high tech and ONC have only a certain bandwidth. And I'd say that every item that's been identified here is really important, but which ones are more important than others, which ones have a greater immediate opportunity for engagement and making a difference, and where does high tech or ONC sit in a unique position of being able to provide value where other things might be handled by other places in the industry. So that's just an overarching observation. And then specifically in this, there's appropriate focus here on moving information from providers, be they clinicians and or laboratories or others, into public health. But one thing that is not included here is the idea of the bidirectional exchange, the closed loop, the ability for public health to inform providers about patients, you know, when a patient is admitted to the hospital, getting all the data that public health has collected to the caregivers, when a patient is identified as being, you know, positive for COVID or some other reportable condition, there is often information that can be shared from public health back to the provider about isolation, about treatment, about follow-up, et cetera, retesting. Information that today some public health jurisdictions are starting to put into the reportability response that is returned after an electronic case report, but we really don't have standardized processes for return of information or the push of important information from public health to providers, nor the ability of providers to pull data from public health for patients of interest. So I think thinking about public health provider exchange as a bidirectional process is going to be something that we should consider adding here.
That is a great observation, and we will definitely adjust this to include that. I think in some environments, there's kind of a sense that getting one direction is pretty hard and maybe a lack of consideration about going bidirectional. But that's an excellent point, and we will include that in the report.
Next, we have Anil Jain.
Okay, great. And I just want to echo everything that Steve just said. I think it's really, really important that we think about the bidirectionality of it. Just one quick observation would be that, you know, and there are multiple places where we simply say exchange of clinical data or just clinical data, and I would encourage us to think about it more broadly as clinical and administrative data. We don't want to leave that behind and create yet another silo. Although it may be written in the gaps and the activities, just want to make sure we don't just simply say clinical data. The other is when we think about public health, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there are downstream folks who might want to use the data that's accumulated through these different activities. So the other stakeholder we may want to include in the high tech activities was how would the consumers or the agents of the consumers, the various places where the data might be analyzed, how would they like to have that data be made available? And what can we do to make sure that that data is more usable in a transparent way? So I would just make that addition to some of the recommended activities that HITECH could undertake.
Great point, Ken. This is Aaron. That's a great point. And I can tell you that even here, as our contact tracing efforts have expanded from a public health perspective and sharing that volume of data, there are a lot of unintended and unforeseen hurdles you have to cross as those data sets get larger and larger and more voluminous. So it's a great point of how do you actually use that in an effective manner. It's great points.
Great. Thanks, Anil. Next is Les Leonard. Les?
Coming off of me. Sorry. A couple of critical points here. I think that the real task for public health, as you all have correctly identified, and this is a great list of things, is the vaccine distribution and also targeting the populations that have issues with health disparities and access to the vaccine. And to do that, we really need to focus on the national identifier issue and to come up with a concrete and practical set of recommendations that can be broadly and rapidly implemented to facilitate the tracking of vaccines. Now, these are all in your list of recommendations, but because of the breadth of what you proposed, and it's excellent in terms of its breadth, I think it's important that we focus on a couple of key ideas. I also wanted to elaborate on some of the things you might have missed with this one. One is this tension between information blocking statutes and then the fire-based infrastructure that is primarily poll-driven that is being created around access to EHRs with that, and public health, being able to investigate the progress of a case as it goes through the healthcare system by poll data operations. And the current strategies that public health is pursuing via Digital Bridge, which is a broad healthcare interoperability project, and with leading vendors to automatically report on public health cases when triggered by the appropriate lab test. So I think delving in deep to this process of notifiable conditions and how public health receives reports or obtains additional information from the healthcare system is going to be critical to getting the key picture, the complete picture, I'm sorry, to public health officials. Let's focus in on this and try to find the happy meeting place between the push operations of Digital Bridge and the pull operations that are possible under fire for ongoing case investigation. Thank you, though, for all the fine work you've done in this area, and I think this is an outstanding agenda.
Thanks, Les. Next, I think we have Jonathan Ebaker.
Hey. So this, I agree with the comments. This is a really a nice agenda. I think there are a couple of opportunities to maybe increase the potency of the agenda. And so one is, and I think this is maybe more of a metadata exercise, is how do we tie this to the Health IT strategic plan, which, so in VA and DOD, we found that. And we are now in the process of mapping initiatives to that plan, which this sort of is. And then we'll be mapping metrics to that plan. And we've delivered our plan to Congress. And I'd encourage reference to that plan because I think it's a powerful framework that represents work of a lot of really smart people across the agencies. Second, I think there's an opportunity to reinforce the effectiveness of this plan by tying it to stuff where ONC and the government, through the HITECH, can really make a difference. And what I'm thinking here is, you know, what does that the HITECH can do? What are the levers of that the HITECH can use for getting stuff done? And I'm, you know, I'm not the expert on this, but this is what I see. So one is, and this first one seems to be a lot of the content of these initiatives, is information gathering, analysis, and awareness. Number two is standards development, promotion, and enforcement. Number three, of course, regulations. Number four, private-public partnerships or public-private partnerships for demonstrations. And then finally, monetary incentives. And so it's really, you know, all about incentives and coercion. And I'm a little bit worried that there's too much exploring issues here and not enough explicit or focused activity on the levers that the high tech can act or the ONC can actually use to get stuff done. Of course, I'm naive in this. I'm going to be looking for the, you know, the words of more experienced people.
Thanks, Jonathan. To the point about how can we, as high tech, get more things done, I think there's 100% agreement with the annual report work group. As we were trying to identify some activities to propose, we did feel like we were coming up with listening session more often than we would like, and more often than perhaps would support actually moving the needle, changing things. I look forward to a discussion with ONC leadership about what the levers are that high tech can use to help ONC get things done, and what is the way that we can help them push forward.
And Jonathan, this is Aaron. I would comment, I agree completely with Carolyn. I would also say that prior years, annual reports have been great at helping us to have conversations in various domains and also maybe different levers that exist outside the high-tech purview. But it helps inform, especially the general public, on things that we're contemplating or issues. And if you look over the past couple of years, again, given great partnership with the ONC leadership, a lot of those topics fed their way right into various proposed rules or final rules or proposed, you know, other levers to pull. So I think you're right. I think there are ways that we can definitely advance the agenda faster. But then there's also the other point, which is to seek first to understand, and hearing from the industry about some of the great work being done is always a prerogative too. So, but great comments. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, I think, is Cheryl Turner.
Thank you, Robert. I wanted to focus on and reinforce two of the things that were brought up while I had my hand up. The first of all is the bidirectional data sharing, which I think is extremely important, and especially not only between administrative and clinical, but also when we're talking about public health related to the pandemic that's currently going on. The consumers that Anil brought up, and hopefully he meant patients by consumers, but you know, in that landscape, we have seen across the country great variation related to individuals that have been diagnosed with the COVID. And in some states, they get phone calls every day. In others, they get no contact from public health. And in others, they get a single contact. And also a lot of variations related to what's required before they're no longer able or required to quarantine, whether a negative test is required or not. And I do think that the COVID provides a perfect use case for creating recommendations, at least, for what could be the ideal state related to how to manage a pandemic. And we haven't really seen that related to how public health can engage. And obviously, this is a significant burden, having someone call a patient every day when you have thousands of people, you know, with a diagnosis is probably not practical. But creating systems where there could be at least an exchange of either a text or an email might seem to make sense. And having recommendations around utilizing our current technology in order to support this with a pathway forward sounds like that would be an ideal state. And then I want to reinforce the point that I believe Stephen made about bidirectional being so important related to the provider being alerted when a patient has been diagnosed, because especially in the pandemic, often people are not going to their primary care physicians. So the pathway for that bidirectional support is also challenging. And hopefully some of the recommendations that you'll hear again in our final report from the Intersection of Clinical Administrative Data Task Force will support the things that we're talking about right now.
Hey, thanks, Cheryl.
Hey, thanks.
Appreciate the feedback and the support for some of the other ideas that have been brought up. We will bring this into the report.
Thanks, Cheryl. Next, I see Denise Webb.
Yes, thank you. First, I had a question. I wondered, because I saw in the recommendations the suggestion of a hearing and in the first set of recommendations, and then listening sessions. Is there a distinction between a hearing and a listening session? Is my first question. And then I want to reinforce a number of things that I heard from my colleagues, and in particular some of the things that Cheryl just said regarding public health. I do think it's absolutely critical that we have more focus on bidirectional exchange. And when we think about public health, and I worked in public health here in Wisconsin at the state level, their funding tends to be very siloed. They rely a lot on federal grants. I know a lot of states underfund their public health departments. And I think we struggled to just even receive data from the provider organization. We greatly relied on it and needed it, but we didn't have a really integrated architecture to even receive the data due to the way we were funded. So I think it's going to be equally challenging when we think about public health being able to return information and data back to the provider organizations and to patients. And so, you know, if there's anything that we can do to focus on recommendations on how we might shore up the public health IT infrastructure. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Carolyn, Aaron, did you want to clarify the listening session versus hearing?
I was just trying to think if I've ever seen a specific definition for those. If I can ask Michelle Marie, was there a particular reason to use one versus the other, or is there something in the discussion that you captured that's slipping Aaron and I's minds right now?
Yes, there was a difference. The hearing was meant to be more of an all-day session with the HITACH and or a task force, and a listening session might be part of a meeting or a meeting on its own of a task force or work group, but sort of less resource intensive.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Other comments, Carolyn or Aaron?
No, this is great feedback.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and call on Jim Juris. Stephen Lane, just because you had a chance to speak already, I'm going to go to Jim first.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to thank the work group. This is a well-framed, and I just want to echo the comments on the importance, I believe, of HITACH really focusing on tangible action items that move the puck forward in meaningful ways. I know there's a lot of, you know, broader listening sessions, et cetera, but the point I wanted to make is, you know, during this COVID-19 crisis, in the spirit of let no good crisis go to waste, what we experienced was were challenges that are found on this list, particularly with the public health departments and the observation of not only are they underfunded, but the perhaps lack of standards and capabilities that HITACH could help with has led to interpretations that created all kinds of unnecessary costs and variation. For example, as we tried to interact with 21 different states' public health departments, you've seen one, you've sort of seen one. And there are still about five or six that are unable to receive any electronic laboratory reporting information. So from my perch, it seems like there's a combination of things on this list that, in the spirit of letting no good crisis go to waste, could form very tangible, focused activities for HITECH and ONC to solve important problems, not only for COVID, but to set up the infrastructure for future public health and other such emergencies. Those include really going deep on how to empower public health departments. Is the work of interoperability in a place where we could reduce the cost by having more national standards for exchange to reduce the cost to public health departments of receiving data and opportunities around patient matching? So it seems to me that there's a combination of items here that that could fuel very focused recommendations that benefit in the near, mid, and long term.
Great. Thanks. Stephen,
Wayne? Thank you, Robert, for the opportunity to throw in another idea. So I really wanted to build on Les Leonard's comments regarding the importance of supporting public health in their ability to pull data. Historically, public health has really just been a catcher's mitt. We talked earlier about the need for public health to be able to return data to providers, but public health also needs to be able to pull data, not only using FHIR, as Les mentioned, but also CDA. And within Care Quality, we did a lot of work on this early in the pandemic, publishing a policy that allows public health entities to query other organizations across the Care Quality framework, utilizing an assertion that the query is for treatment purposes, even though both parties know that the query is for non-treatment public health purposes. And the reason is because health IT vendors are not prepared to manage the discrete purpose of use of public health. So I think that's a real need, that we need to push the health IT vendors to be able to manage a public health purpose and do that appropriately, as opposed to kind of misusing the treatment purpose, which is what's being done today. Also, and we've discussed this here before, there is still a requirement under HIPAA for providers to receive an assertion from public health that public health is querying for the minimum necessary data for the purpose of hand. And there's been a lot of hand-waving about this, but whether we look at the care quality policy, whether we look at what was done early on in Chicago, what's being done presently in San Francisco, with the ability of provider organizations to push data to public health, we need that assertion of minimum necessary so that providers are protected under HIPAA for sending this data. And I believe, my understanding is that OCR is still mulling over providing such an assertion to be applicable nationwide, and that's going to be very important for us to be able to move forward with the ability for public health entities to pull current clinical data from providers as opposed to simply waiting for it to arrive as a push.
Great. Next is John Kamsky.
Thank you. Just piling on a little bit with compliments about the work on specifically on the exchange of clinical data for public health, was impressed with the capture of issues related factors. Was very glad to see the call out for HIEs, because not just because I'm an HIE guy and I think that's a good idea, but I think it reflects a discussion that's simmering nationally on a role for HIEs, expanded role for HIEs in public health, and so was glad to see that. Specifically in response to Stephen's observation about supporting providers with public health information, I just want to point out that that's one of the areas where HIEs, where they exist and where they are capable, absolutely already supports that. If the data flows from the HIE to public health is supported. If the HIE has the data, as they do in Indiana, it even flows back from the state to the HIE so that it can be made available to support providers. Last quick comment is that I want to acknowledge, of course, that as we try to solve this nationally, there's a number of approaches that we should all take at the same time, including interoperability with EHR vendors and HIEs and any other approach that makes sense. And the HIE challenge, making them comprehensively useful across the country, has its own set of challenges that we need to work on. And those challenges tend to be more, hey, it's great in this state or region, but it's not great in that state or region. But I think that just calls out the need for different approaches to addressing that gap. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Great. Hey, thanks. Next, we have Terrence O'Malley.
Hi. Again, this is a fantastic body of work and really thought-provoking. My comment is just in the spirit of sort of pushing, probing a little bit beyond listening sessions and hearing. And I'm wondering if there isn't an opportunity to look to create a sort of a minimum standard data set for public health. Doesn't have to be the be-all and end-all, but at least sort of the basic nuts and bolts of what a public health department needs to learn about what's going on and then respond to it. So perhaps there's a role for HITACH to play in assembling a basic public health communication packet that says, here's the data that other public health departments have found useful, and these are the standards that back them up. Just sort of putting that piece of infrastructure out publicly. Again, this just in the context of a really fantastic job. So thank you all.
Thanks, Terry. That strikes me as an opportunity perhaps for HITACH to work with other organizations in the sense that we could certainly prescribe something that we think public health should do, but we may go further faster by working with some dedicated public health experts to better understand their needs and their concerns and see if we can move the HIT faster. But thank you. That's a great suggestion, and we will look at how to incorporate that into the report and the crosswalk.
So, Taylor and Aaron, will you move on to the other areas of the report?
Yes, let's go forward.
Yep. I want to encourage the HITACH to please give feedback back to us. Even if you didn't get a chance to get your comments in, shoot a note, think about it, you know, get it back to us one way or the other. All right. Interoperability, thoughts, questions, examples.
Terry? Is that your hand up again, or is that from
yep.
the past one?
Yep. No, it's a hand up again, and I'll just do another riff on the same theme. I think for, again, a great set of recommendations and issues, the exchange of health data across the care continuum. But what strikes me about that is, particularly in long-term post-acute care, what you're really talking about are transitions of care. And you alluded to that in your slide deck about transitions. And that really is the glue that holds the healthcare system together. And that's really where interoperability has its greatest value. It's in moving information around the care of a patient when they move from one care team to another. And so I think there may be another opportunity to look at setting up a process to actually develop a standardized set, first of all, of information required, and then wrap it with the standards that support that information. It would take a lot of work away from everyone who's struggling to decide what it is they need to exchange. And as a result, no one really exchanges what's needed by everybody in that particular exchange. So my recommendation would be, think about creating such a national standard. Here's the standard data set when you're sending someone from a skilled nursing facility to home health. Right. You know, it's not the universe. we could probably nail that down. Or, as you mentioned, Carolyn, in collaboration with people who are more knowledgeable about the details of it. But that would be my one recommendation. Thanks.
Thanks, sir. Raj, you're next.
Great, thank you. And as everyone else said, I really appreciate the deep work in this and really love seeing the patient safety aspect of this. And I just want to make two high-level comments related to the component on patient safety. So the first is to encourage us to think about two components of EHRs and safety. The first is the safe use of health IT. So this is identifying where there may be unintended consequences from the technology that might lead to a patient safety issue. And the second component is thinking about using health IT to make care safer. So this is where there are aspects of the technology that can be leveraged to tackle current and future patient safety issues. So thinking about that through that lens, maybe parsing some of these comments around those two different components. And then the other piece I want to also just highlight is that the ONC and several other organizations have done so much historical work in this space. At one point, I believe the ONC had a safety roadmap, proposals for a health IT safety center, which at the time there wasn't, I think, federal appetite for that from Congress. But perhaps leveraging a lot of that historical work that's been done to identify what were the roadblocks that prevented things like a safety center from being constructed, and how can we now overcome those since it's a very different time. And so that might be exploring things like a public-private partnership or other mechanisms that could get us to where we want to be. And happy to jump in and provide more feedback offline, but I think really leveraging what has already been done is going to be really important as we look to the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Les Leonard.
I'd like to raise a point about the Internet of Things approach and the need for standards in this, but we were involved with a grant from Tatrick that focused on the use of IoT technologies for surge capacity for ICUs that has been successful in creating systems of care that can rapidly expand to supervise patients in remote settings using ad hoc technologies. And that for this to really be effective, we need to have standards and safety protocols and the ability to, you know, identify medical devices and yet have them integrated in the cloud. We have some early successes with the demonstration of these types of technologies, but understanding the link between Internet of Things and the ability to create surge capacity for ICUs is critical to our ability to defeat diseases like COVID-19, which can literally overwhelm the ICU resources in one region during these sort of peak periods and cause a need to create ad hoc collaborative teams, or not so ad hoc, but teams that can come in from remote areas to provide additional expertise. All possible with IoT technologies for components like ventilators, remote blood pressure monitoring, other types of ICU care tools, but difficult to do without the right standards in place and the ability or to be able to combine those and roll them up in cloud-based settings. So I really like the IoT comment in here. I just would like to see it focus a little bit more on the needs with COVID for ICU surge.
Great. Thanks, Les. That will be helpful. And we have captured that, and we'll look at how to address that in the report on the crosswalk. We just advanced the slide a bit to bring forward some of the other topics in the interoperability target area, if anyone has any other comments about this area.
Since there's a little break in my hands right now, I'm going to go back just a couple slides to the public health and IT. There was a comment, there was a section there talking about exchanging information with other countries, international exchange of clinical data, that one. And I'll use that as my opportunity to update the group on the Commons project that I've been working with as a board member. Last meeting, we had our pilot project of Common Pass, which pulls data from Apple Health and Common Health and then displays the status of travelers. And so there's been two successful pilot uses of that, one flying from Hong Kong to Singapore and one flying from London to New York City, where passengers can get their test results into Apple Health or Common Health and then use Common Pass to pull the information about their status without displaying their actual clinical information. And then they're using that to smooth travel, both with the airlines, but also with border crossings. And so using a QR code that gets displayed on Common Pass, the passenger can display their status, whether it be their COVID-19 testing status, or perhaps in the future, their vaccine status. And so that's progressing quite well. It's a project that the Commons Project is working with the World Economic Forum and governments around the world to harmonize the regulations about border crossings and the need for clinical status that's become much more important now than previously. And that's brought in all kinds of issues about data veracity, making sure you can't spoof your clinical results. There's got to be some sort of token that goes along with your clinical results to make sure that they're yours and they're verifiable. So it goes a little bit beyond the yellow card that we used to get initials on for vaccination status. But I think this is a very important area, and I am glad to see it in our annual report talking about international exchange of clinical data. Carolyn, Aaron, do you have other sections you want to put before the group?
Maybe we can move forward to the privacy and security section. I know that's often something that brings up comments. And I do see that we are at about 8 or 9 more minutes left. So, again, please, HITAC members, if you have other comments or questions, let's bring those forward regardless of which target area they're in. We want to be sure we capture it all.
Are there any hands raised on this one, Robert or Carolyn?
Looks like Cheryl, you have your hand up.
Yes, Robert. I did want to mention that related to consent, in the final report for the intersection of clinical administrative data, we do have recommendations related to patients being enabled to receive identity verification as well as consent, and really being able to share them bidirectionally. So building off of that idea, I do think that this is complementary to that recommendation and also would be a tool that could be used related to the point you just brought up, Robert, it requiring verification. You know, the ideal state describes the capability of a patient being able to get a third party identity verification and credentialing, and then that token could be utilized as a means to verify and also link to their consents. So building off of those ideas, I think, would serve us all well as we move to the future.
Great point.
Other questions or comments on the annual report?
I will take this pause to thank the ONC annual report team and the contractors and support staff who've helped us to get this together. It is really tremendously helpful to have that support in being able to align all the information and ensure that we capture all the feedback from HITAC. So thank you for that. I would also note that Aaron and I are interested in any feedback that HITECH members have coming to us through email. We are at a good place to take that feedback now. It would be more difficult to make significant changes to the report later. So please do send that on to us.
And I would agree, and I would say thank you also as well to the ONC team, to everybody, to Michelle Murray and everybody for the phenomenal partnership here. This report, even in draft format, is a labor of love, and we appreciate everybody's assistance and the HITECH's comments on it. So more to come.
Are there any HITECH members who are just on the phone that aren't able to raise your hands in Adobe that have questions or feedback? Well, hearing none and seeing, I'm sorry, did I just cut someone off?
Nope, go ahead.
I would say hearing no other questions and seeing no other hands raised in Adobe, Robert, I think we have completed this discussion. I want to thank HITECH members for taking a look at the crosswalk and bringing forward some really good commentary and questions for us. We will use that to improve upon and expand the draft that you've seen so far and bring that back in January for a discussion and any other work that members feel needs to be done. Thank you.
I think we all owe Carolyn and Aaron a lot of thanks as well for the hard work that they put in multiple years now on the annual report work group. This is an important piece of work for our committee, and it's been great to have them lead this effort. And it's really, I think, important that we note the hard work that they put in along with the entire committee, but certainly chairing that group and getting this work pulled together and presented for us is important, and we appreciate it. Carolyn, you want to take us into the discussion of the next item?
Sure. Let's move the slides forward to our next presentation. I think we are coming up on the presentation of the final recommendations to HITECH of the Intersection of Clinical and Administrative Data Task Force. So I will hand the mic over to Cheryl Turney and Alex Goss.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak today. This is Cheryl Turney, and I am going to lead us off. Want to thank everyone here for their feedback and comments in the last meeting, as well as the folks from HITECH that participated in the Intersection of Clinical Administrative Data Task Force. We can move to the next slide. This is our agenda for today. We're going to just refresh you quickly on our charge and members, and then we're going to review the changes that we've made to the report and submit the final report, have a discussion, and hopefully have a HITECH vote to approve the report. We can go to the next slide. Again, this was our charge. The focus was to produce information considerations relating to the merging of clinical and administrative data. And I'm not going to read the entire thing. It has not changed from what we originally set up, with a focus on prior authorizations and really with the goal of reducing burden and recording once and reusing data. And I think that the task force convened and worked very diligently throughout the year in order to accomplish this charge that culminated in the report that we're going to be submitting today. Next slide. This is the list of task force members that participated, both from HITECH and CVHS, as well as other stakeholders throughout the federal landscape. But in addition to this, we had much support from ONC as well as Excel. And I just want to mention a few of those individuals who, without their support, we probably would not have gotten here. And that is Lauren Ritchie, Michael Witte, Andrew Hayden, Thomas Mason, Kate Campagna, Cassandra Hadley, and then our editor, Susan Baird. Really want to appreciate all of the people. There were additional stakeholders that participated on various aspects of our work, and all of the folks worked very, very diligently. They were very committed to the charge and the purpose. There was a lot of passion that was put into this effort, and want to thank everyone for their work that brought us to this point. Next slide. This is an outline of the report, and we did not change anything materially, but we tried to focus the report more specifically and draw out some of the clarifications that were requested by the feedback we received. But in essence, the final report outline is substantially unchanged. So we can go to the next slide. And the next slide. So these are the industry commenters who provided both verbal and in some cases written feedback to the ICAD task force. We had a few common themes, and I'll just highlight a few of those, not meant to be 100% complete, but there were comments related to the patient-centered focus and providing more clarity around what our recommendations and the ideal state would actually look like for the patient. There were comments on attachment standards and also some comments related to making standards open to implement without licensing costs, as you might well imagine. We received some comments related to the adoption of FHIR and the progress that it's currently at and potential for future. There also were some comments related to a number of the guiding principles and recommendations related to testing, and if those could be also clarified, and a number of additional items added, which Alex is going to go over. And then there were some additional comments to clarify the report's focus, both in the introduction as well as in the summary, and Alex will review those as well. And then several groups offered to serve as standards stakeholders, and that was information that helped us clarify participants as the work that this report hopefully will kick off, will go forward. And we can go to the next slide. And so here again is a list of the material changes that were made to the report. Just to help in your review, and also you received this in a PDF version. So today you received, in prep for this meeting, a redline version, a final version, as well as a listing of the changes that were made. And the hope is that as you hear the updates on the material that Alex is going to review, if you have questions following that, we can answer those. But again, our hope is that you will approve the report with no material changes, hopefully after today. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Alex, and we can go to the next slide.
Well, thank you so very much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so very much, Cheryl. So let's kick off with that context overview that Cheryl provided us with and start with our ideal state. As you may recall, prior authorization was our exemplar. And so for the focus of our intersection of clinical administrative data, and this is really a major part of our deep analysis, but it really also spoke to or led us into a consensus around improving the process across the continuum of healthcare and for the majority of the scenarios that will be faced, and that we have an opportunity to build on operational and technical investments in today's landscape and creating a new kind of clinical conversation and information exchange in addition to the administrative kind of conversation that we can enable through the recommendations that we're advancing here for consideration and approval today. We recognize that there's a need to leverage technology and workflow to remove the burden by acknowledging the gaps, but building effective bridges to the future and doing so wisely and with an eye towards the type of a technology harnessing that we can implement, but really enabling the reduced burden for all the stakeholders. Next slide, please. During our update process, we actually only updated one specific guiding principle. Two are highlighted on this slide. We did revise design for future while solving needs for today as a result of some prior comments, but nothing was materially changed in the version we're submitting to you today. However, patient-centered design and focus is a new name. We really heard from our stakeholder community as well as HITACH feedback and the task force members weighing in that we really didn't hit the mark in representing the intent of the task force in our guiding principle and a couple of the recommendations related to patient at the center. So as a result, we updated that title of the guiding principle to now, instead of being patient at the center, to be patient-centered design and focus. In no way did we want to require a patient to be put into the middle unnecessarily in administrative processes. We really wanted to improve our description to reflect our intent that there's a balancing act of patients being able to be the center of the focus in our workflow designs, but to couple that with our goals related to transparency so that when processes may break down, that the patient-centered design and focus, along with transparency, would provide the patients and caregivers with the necessary insights into the process so that they could help mitigate any issues that might be occurring. Next slide, please. So understanding that we had one guiding principle change, we also recognized from the feedback that we've received across our multiple feedback loops that we had an opportunity to strengthen the lead-in to our recommendations. We added language to be very clear and very straightforward about our focus being on the what, not the how. That we do envision that the work that we've submitted to HITACH will be reviewed and approved so that it can start subsequent processes through ONC's coordinations and collaborations with many of its partners, including NCVHS, and that really what we're providing is a framing for focus for the next steps in our recommendations, and that there are specific details that need to be developed and that we would use what I will air quote around as saying normal processes. What we've seen extensively, even if we've just heard about the annual report effort, this process of people coming together, kicking the tires, identifying a straw man, advancing it for consideration and feedback, and then moving it into more formal processes, whether it is listening sessions, hearings, or proposed rules and comments. These are the examples of normal processes that we've become very accustomed to for engaging multiple stakeholders, vetting of details, and creating strong final recommendations and related details of how those recommendations we accomplished as a part of the overarching processes of the federal government and its partners in the industry. As such, we tried to capture some of that language in our lead-in and as well as in our closing additions, which I will get to in a moment. Next slide, please. So on this recommendations list of 15 recommendations that are intended to bring our guiding principles and ideal state to life, we made three material updates. Those are noted in red, recommendations 7, 8, and 15. I will go over those in detail in a moment. But before I jump into those specific material updates, I want to highlight that we did make some adjustments, but nothing substantial or material. We really enhanced for clarity recommendations 6 and 13 as well. In recommendation 6, we just added a sentence. It's not a material substantive change, but it is a clarifying point that we added at the conclusion of recommendation 6 related to the financial support for the development and curation of standards. That's tied to the licensing aspect of Recommendation 6. And if this was part of the feedback that Cheryl noted in her overview, and it is related to the making of standards open to implement without licensing costs. And we understand that there is a necessary funding stream that needs to exist for the effective and robust development and curation of national standards. For Recommendation 13, there was a slight adjustment to track with our guiding principle change related to patient-centered focus and design, and that we just made sure that there was just tightened up the language to make it a little bit clearer, the linkage between patient-centered design and our transparency objectives. But let's dive into the more substantial changes at this point. I'd like to go to the next slide, please. We'll be talking about Recommendation 7 first. This is developing patient-centered workflows and standards. In this section, as you can see in the red, we modified some of our language. We took out a little bit and then tightened it up to really ensure that there was clarity that we are patient-centered design and focus, but that the engagement in the workflow should be available to patients at their discretion and not a requirement of the process. We took out a couple sentences that were clearly confusing and replaced it with this engagement sentence, and then it just flowed directly into the tie of the administrative workflow for the designated record set. We also wanted to make sure that it was clear that we were expecting that patients had visibility into bidirectional workflows. I was pleasantly surprised, maybe not surprised, but pleasantly affirmed by the annual report comments that there was so much synergy between what the intersection of clinical and administrative data task force and the HITACH as a whole were thinking. And so as Cheryl noted earlier, our work will help bolster the work of a HITACH and hopefully really provide us with a clear glide path towards that broader intersection objective. Next slide, please. Recommendation 8 had a bit of a title change. We realized we wanted to put CARD into the title so that we were adopting a member ID CARD standard. We felt it might have been a little confusing for folks. They were jumping possibly to patient matching focus in this recommendation, whereas we were thinking about the actual insurance card that a patient would have, and to ensure that we would adopt a standard. And so we made a change in the title to include the word CARD, and we're clear about wanting to adopt a standard within the recommendation. Next slide, please. Recommendation 15 is the last substantial revision that we made, material revision to the recommendation set. One we discussed at our last meeting, which was the third bullet. We wanted to highlight how we'd actually change the minimum data set to a sufficient data set to make it clear and also avoid some potential confusion with long-term care reporting names. More especially that we added the final bullet in response to feedback that we heard from the industry, HITACH members, and task force members, and that we included now to offer incentives for stakeholders to pilot and test innovative solutions. Next slide, please. And our last major revision is related to the conclusion, the final paragraph of the report. We revamped this conclusion to really get at our point that the ecosystem would seamlessly and multidirectionally move appropriate data from the point of initial capture to the point of uses without any special effort by those capturing or consuming. And those data flows would be protected by robust security practices and privacy policies. Overall burden would be reduced while clinical care, patient experience, and health outcomes would be improved. HHS and industry stakeholders should take these recommendations as a basis for initiating follow-on actions to bring the described ideal state to life. This concluding sentence really underscores the fact that we now need to turn the corner and start working on the details to actually bring this body of work to fruition. Next slide, please. Cheryl and I would love to hear your feedback from your review of our red line summary of changes that we provided to you last week and your review of the final report. So I will turn it back over to Carolyn and Robert for managing the Q&A.
Thanks, Alex. Hi-Tech members, if you would please raise your hands in Adobe, I will recognize for questions and comments. Do we have any Hi-Tech members who are just on the phone who have questions or comments? Please identify yourself. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands in the Adobe or hearing any comments from Hi-Tech members on the phone. I would again encourage you to bring forward any feedback or questions or other comments that you have at this time.
So Carolyn, this is Alex, and while you're waiting for people to possibly bring forward their input, this has been an amazing process. We had hoped to conclude it in September, but the extensiveness of this body of work really took us a little bit longer than we anticipated, and that I think that there's a lot of synergy across this Federal Advisory Committee and the strategic focus areas of the National Committee on Vital and Health Statistics. And so I think that the fact that folks may be quiet may be indicative of the extensive efforts that are notable from our task force members and that we have delivered a framework that we can viably move forward with. And I think that the ongoing partnerships will be very critical to ensuring that we build healthy, effective workflows and data standards as we move forward to underscore the objectives of 21st century cures and a modern healthcare delivery system.
Thanks, Alex. I'm really glad that the process was enjoyable and satisfying. I know certainly when I saw the schedule of meetings come out, I thought, oh my goodness, this is really a massive, massive commitment on the part of many folks that takes a great deal of time and obviously took a lot of effort. So I'm pleased that it was not just work, but it was also something that was really satisfying for the group. I think it's a tremendous achievement, the report that's been brought forward and the work that's been done. And I think Hi-Tech absolutely has gratitude for all that's been accomplished. Certainly the prior authorization is an issue that has been on the minds of many people for a long time and rightly recognized as something where work was needed. And you've done a tremendous job with that. To the Hi-Tech, just as a reminder, we want to do a final formal vote today, so this is the last chance for comments. If you have any questions or other thoughts to share, please raise your hand in the Adobe or let me know if you are just on the phone. We do anticipate that this is our last look and last opportunity to make any further changes or discussion about this work. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations for an incredible piece of work. I can't imagine how many hours it took to do this. It's really comprehensive and very, very thoughtful. I would just actually raise a question and a comment based on Aaron's last slide when he talked about metadata and whether or not there's a broader role for metadata in this process and the need for standardizing that. That's really a question rather than a comment. So I will leave it as a question. Thanks.
From a metadata perspective, Cheryl, I might jump in here to also pull in some of the focus of the Fire at Scale Task Force efforts. They've been also looking at the metadata exchange aspects. I'm wondering if that's the sort of the data about the data, that, you know, for routing, that kind of information. Is that what you're referring to with the metadata?
Yeah, it's also not only for routing, but also for a lot of the administrative tasks, and certainly for provenance. So there's a mishmash of issues around metadata that might be worth looking into.
I think, Terry, you bring up a really good point. When we think about national standards intersecting, and we need to know, we need to have semantic alignment about the value sets, the codes, the data that we use, we need to be able to seriously rely upon knowing the source of that data, but also the structure of that data so we can consume, ingest, and use it appropriately. And I think a lot of the work that we've done within this report assumes that we're building on the frameworks of USCDI, of the HIPAA standards, of the ability for those worlds to intersect. And I think that as we start to look at the value, the code values that we use and converge, I think that we're going to have to trip into some of that metadata conversation. I agree, it's beyond just the routing information, which I know from a fire perspective, a FAST initiative is trying to tackle as well. But I think this is another point of clarification, or not clarification, another point of coordination, excuse me, between NCVHS and HITACH that could possibly evolve as next steps really evolve.
Yeah, and this is Cheryl on that point. I mean, I do think there is should be a focus on metadata, blockchain, as well as AI, because they all will support different aspects of the bidirectional data sharing. But again, I think from the perspective of that really speaks more to the how and what data is more appropriate for what type of data provenance and protection is required. And hopefully ONC working with industry and other federal stakeholders will lay out in the future plan some structure for how that data should work. I know one of the things we did talk about initially was a data model and whether we wanted to include a federal data model, and that recommendation was actually put to the side because there were lots of different thoughts and really got more into the how and not really the what. So I do think that your comment is definitely appropriate and definitely should be considered as we move forward to build off of this recommendations, set of recommendations, and move into, you know, how do we now make this live? I mean, the vision that we saw is a system that is more interconnected, more living within the workflow, and also might even support, you know, activities where patients get alerts when things happen like they do on their credit card. And similarly, providers should get those same alerts when things happen with their patients. As Stephen was talking about earlier, to know and be able to address, you know, certain either disease diagnoses that occur or treatments that patients have had to receive in places other than their, you know, personal providers. So you're looking at that landscape, it really creates an entirely different mechanism for all of the stakeholders to communicate and support patient health as we move forward to the future.
Thanks, Cheryl and Alex. Do we have any questions, feedback from HITACH members? I'm not seeing any hands, but I don't want to cut off anyone if you have one last thought. Okay. It looks like we really don't have any other questions or comments for discussion. Let's move to the next slide. Thank you. So does anyone have a motion to bring forward? Go ahead and raise your hand. Cheryl?
I move to adopt the report, a final report from the intersection of clinical administrative data.
And do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to adopt the final report of the intersection of clinical and administrative data task force final recommendations. All those who would like to vote to approve this report, please signify by saying aye.
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 And would all those who are opposed to adopting this motion, approving this motion, please signify by saying no. And are there any abstentions? All right. The HITAC has voted to approve the intersection of clinical and administrative data task force final recommendations. And
yay!
Move that forward to the ONC director. Thank you. With that, we will now transition to the next part of today's meeting. That will be the HITAC 2021 draft work plan, and Lauren Ritchie is going to lead that discussion. Go ahead, Lauren.
Great. Thank you so much, Carolyn. And again, congratulations to the full ICAT task force and the ICAT co-chairs, Cheryl and Alex. Really appreciate your efforts there. So before we adjourn for today and for our last meeting of the year, wanted to share with you our draft work plan for 2021, get a little bit of your input and feedback, and then present the final plan at our first meeting of the year in January. I will just mention here that we are also planning to publish the full calendar dates of 2021 in the Federal Register within the next couple of weeks or so. So members, you should be getting a calendar invitation in the next couple of weeks, and we will also update the public website with the new meeting dates. So please be on the lookout for that. Next slide. So this should all be very familiar with you all. These are our three priority target areas named in the 21st Century Cures Act: patient access, interoperability, and privacy and security. We are also considering a fourth additional priority target area, and that is use of technologies that support public health, obviously, given our current posture with the pandemic. Next slide. So as I mentioned, we'll talk through some plan topics and some current commitments that we know to be coming down the pipe for the committee next year. Also want to discuss opportunities for new activity and new topics next year and beyond. So really want to get your thoughts and input on, you know, what we can add or remove or change, what specifically the HITAC or ONC can focus on, what's within the purview of the committee, what's more immediate versus a few years down the road. And if you have any thoughts, it's not critical at this point, but if you have any thoughts on perhaps what would be more suitable for a subcommittee versus a full committee discussion or a hearing, happy to consider that at this point as well. Next slide. So just a bit in terms of how we got here today, went back and reviewed a number of transcripts and meeting notes from our prior discussions, looking at the recommendations and the content of the fiscal year 19 annual report, coupled with our 21st Century Cures requirement, our FACA requirements, as well as other emerging issues with input from our high-tech co-chairs. Next slide. So just wanted to share a little bit about kind of what we've completed and what's in progress and what we've yet to start. So I won't read each one of these in detail, but we accomplished quite a bit in calendar year 20 with obviously our full day panel hearing on COVID-19 response, wrapping up the HR reporting program, user criteria, obviously the final rule and the strat plan. Next year, we'll look to have additional COVID-19 follow-up discussions as needed and wrapping up the fiscal year 20 report. And then also in next year, we'll start to look at the USCDI version 2 and the developer criteria for the EHR reporting program, as well as the Trust Exchange Framework and Common Agreement. Next slide. So here is our very abbreviated work plan at a glance for the year. As we typically do, we will have an administrative meeting in January just to do a little bit of level setting and talk about the final work plan. The high-tech annual report will wrap up their fiscal year 20 report and begin the fiscal year 21 report later in the summer. The EHR reporting program, we are anticipating standing up a new task force in the May timeframe. We're also anticipating re-engaging the ISP task force around Q2 of next year. Just as a reminder, the 21st Century Cures Act asked that the HITECH on an annual basis review standards priorities. So we'll be coming back to the ISP task force for that reason. And then annually thereafter. We are also looking to, in Q1 of next year, re-engage the USCDI task force, as well as re-engage the ICAD task force to consider additional work under the larger umbrella of intersection clinical and administrative data. And then hoping to have a public health and HIE hearing in the fall of next year. We have two items that are still TBD at this point, the common agreement as well as the ONC contract guide. We know those are coming next year, but we don't have a specific timeline just yet, but we will hope to finalize this by the time of our January meeting. Next slide. So here's a list of additional topics for the committee to consider. This is not exhaustive by any means, but these topics have bubbled up to the top of our conversations a number of times, and so we did not want to omit those. We don't have a specific timeline, but would love your feedback. Again, where can we narrow some of these topics? Perhaps what's more appropriate for a subcommittee? If there are other additional potential topics that you would like to see at least included in the universe for next year, happy to consider those as well. Next slide. Okay, so that's about it. Wanted to open it up for discussion. Again, we've just presented the questions here again just to remind you, but happy to go back. Maybe Estelle, if we can go back to the work plan at a glance slide. I can start there and see if there are any questions, and then we can move to the additional topics that helps to spur a conversation. So while we're going back to the work plan slide, see if we have any questions. I'm sorry, next slide, please. Thank you.
And it looks like our first person in the queue is Cheryl Turney. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, so this is just bringing forward what Denise had questioned and I had agreed with in the chat, is that I was wondering if it might be possible to do more than a public hearing on public health and HIE in terms of perhaps having a task force focused on recommendations that could support the bi-directional data sharing for public health.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl.
John Kansky, please go ahead.
It wasn't my original comment, but if you form that task force, I'll join it. My question was going to be, what can ONC say, and I understand this may be a challenging question given uncertainty, but what can the ONC say about what the triggers will be in terms of reigniting the TEFCA task force in terms of if and when?
Hi, this is Elise. I can answer that one. Right now we're looking at how the timing of everything will fit together. Obviously, the RCE has been doing a tremendous job and a lot of work thinking through their feedback on what the common agreement should look like. That's now in our laps, and we're taking a look at that and kind of looking based upon that on what the time frame would be. So we don't have an exact time, but we are aiming for next year. But again, it really comes down to, you know, all the feedback that the RCE has provided, and then we're looking at that. And then we want to have something that's, you know, kind of put together so that the high tech can then look at that. And that would be the next version of what you would be looking at.
My understanding is there'll be a common agreement that's put out.
Correct.
for public comment, and we might restart the task force at that time. Is that what you said?
Right. We're looking at the dates for that, but yes, it would be the common agreement would be the next step. So far, just for those who have not been as close to this, so far the high tech and what has been released is really around kind of the minimum required terms and conditions. So now we're moving to that next step of the actual common agreement draft, and that's what would be up for discussion with the high tech, but also what we plan to release for public comment.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Elise and Jen. Let's go to Les Leonard.
Yes, thank you. Looking at this schedule, I think that we're looking at the public health activities too late in the year. Second, I think that sometime in January or February, I think that we need to have discussions on vaccine administration tracking systems as well as adverse event reporting systems and how they integrate with EHR. To review the current processes that are in place, the standards that the CDC has, and then to look at ways that we can improve this from a population health perspective. This is the greatest challenge we'll face this in 2021 is distributing the vaccine and making sure everyone gets it. And then unless we look at our standards in a timely way and try to make some very concrete recommendations about improving it, we'll have missed the boat here. We won't have done our duty to try to improve things. So sometime in January or February, I would suggest that we start, and I think you probably need a task force on this to come up with some recommendations in a very short order as to how we can do both adverse event and administration tracking better with EHR standards.
Thanks, Les. Let's go to Jim Gerges.
Yeah, hey, I just had a question about the role of HITECH in the TEFCA process. So as I understood what you were saying a minute ago, is that there will be a public comment period on the common agreement. Is the HITECH's role to be one of many commenters, or is there a more vivid role for ONC with HITECH around TEFCA? And I ask that because I know with the RCE in place, how much of that's direct relationship with ONC, and where does HITECH fit in that?
Sure. This is Elise again. Happy to answer. So let me start with the role of the RCE. So ONC went through a process of identifying the RCE through a cooperative agreement. So the RCE does work directly with ONC, and in fact, once the TEFCA framework is up and in place and the common agreement is in place, the RCE will actually help ONC operationalize the TEFCA framework, particularly, for example, working directly with the QHIMS in terms of, you know, their compliance with the common agreement and their assistance in moving information across networks. So the RCE will be instrumental in that process. They've also been working, the RCE that is, has been working on identifying, looking at the minimum required terms and conditions, but also identifying additional required terms and conditions that are helpful in the operationalization of the TESCA framework. So that's how that construct works. And in terms of engagement with the HITECH, it would take on the similar form as what the HITECH has done in the previous reviews that they've done on the TESCA framework, where we also intend to release it to the public to the public for comment, but also we'll share it with TESCA. I'm sorry, we'll share it with HITECH, not TESCA. We'll share it with the HITECH for their feedback. And that feedback comes back to ONC to consider, as does the feedback from the public to consider in putting together what would ultimately be that final draft, a final version of draft one for the common agreement.
Thanks, Elise. Stephen Lane, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Can we also have a little comment from the ONC team about the USCDI advancement process? Obviously, there's been a process recently of submissions for addition, of leveling. My understanding is that a proposal for USCDI version 2 will be coming back to HITECH for review, comment, and possibly even approval. Can you talk about where that will occur in the course of the year and how the USCDI task force will participate in that?
Hey, Lauren, this is Arvind Nash. Do you want me to start that process and then you take over the HITECH side?
Sure. Thanks, Arvind Nash.
Okay, no problem. Hi, this is Arvind Nash and from ONC. So you are right. We received a lot of submissions, over 600 submissions of data elements. And the team is going through those to identify the level two first, and then at the level two, looking at an initial starter set of candidate version two data elements that would be considered for version two draft. Our current plan is to have a draft version two of USCDI to be published for public comments along with a HITECH review early of the next year. So early January, we will have that be published for review and discussion by HITECH. And within HITECH, my expectation is that we will have a USCDI task force similar to what was done previously that would look into those data elements and do a further review analysis and feedback with the expectation of version two final based on the feedback both from HITECH and public. That would then end up being a version two released around March or April of the next year. And then that would kind of fall into our standards version advancement process, which is a secondary kind of a complementary approach that kind of then makes it available to the health IT developers to adopt it formally as part of the QoS final rule. I'm going to pause and see if Lauren has details on the HITECH process, but then open and then happy to answer any additional questions.
And no, thanks, Avinash. I would just add that we will formally charge the committee just as we did before. So that we will have a specific charge, obviously, that will differ from the last task force. So we'll have an opportunity to talk through specifically what we're going to ask the task force to comment on. Go ahead.
Thanks, Lauren and Avinash. Let's go to Ken Kawamoto.
Great. Thank you. This is also around USCDI. And first, I did submit several proposed elements, and I thought the ONC response was really timely, thorough. So thank you. I mean, as a submitter perspective, it was, I think, handled really, really well. With regard to the task force, one suggestion for the scope, tasking, and timeline is when I look at it now, it looks like it's about really commenting on the level two elements that already have fairly good adoption and seeing if it should be included further. I do agree that's the most important part of what needs to be discussed, but kind of getting back to what earlier iterations of the US CDI task force brought up as one of the primary issues, and that's, how do we avoid the chicken and the egg issue, where if it's already being adopted widely, then we say it should be used, and if it's not, then there's no clear pathway to move it forward. I think along those lines, one suggestion I would consider, keeping the US CDI and its focus and timeline the way it is for the initial part, reviewing the things that of the hundreds of data elements that sort of bubble to the top, I would suggest maybe extending that for the remainder of the year, working through the process of what do we do about the ones that aren't yet level two? What are the things that could be done to, check to see if there's more support we can provide or how we can accelerate, coordinate that? So just a suggestion there, along with the idea that, certainly if it's already widely used, that's great. But for things that aren't already widely used, there still may be things in there that have pretty substantial societal and public health benefits that we should consider. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Do we have questions from HITECH members who are just on the phone? And if we could advance the slides, please, to the list of additional potential topics. Great, thank you.
Thanks, Charlotte. Yeah, so again, we just wanted to perhaps get your thoughts on more specificity around these topics. Are there others that should be included? Are there others that should be prioritized? I'm happy to have your thoughts here as well.
Well, this is Carolyn. I'll insert a comment in this area. When we did last year's planning for the 2020 year, there was some discussion about privacy, and particularly as it related to patient and person-generated health data. I think that we didn't ever get to doing that work this year. I think with the public health considerations and the data that is being generated related to COVID and some of the other related activities like tracking vaccinations, we will certainly see additional types of data that will raise some new issues with regard to secondary uses, particularly by commercial entities that might have an interest in that information. So I strongly suggest that we take a look at doing something around data privacy, bring in the secondary information as well as the education issue. I know that was something that was reviewed by the Health IT Across the Care Continuum Task Force in 2019 and was not taken up for further work at that time. But I strongly suggest that be something we look at for 2021.
Great. Thank you, Carolyn. That is noted.
Do we have other questions or comments from other HITECH members? Please raise your hand in the Adobe or let me know verbally if you're just on the phone. And then if we could advance the slide, please, to slide number 8. Just another couple questions and thoughts to guide discussion for HITECH members.
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. Next slide, please. If you have any additional thoughts after the meeting, feel free to email those to myself or Robert or Carolyn. We will take the feedback we heard today, think about prioritizing those topics, and then present the final plan in January, and then that will kind of set our path for the remainder of the year and beyond. So with that, I want to thank you for your input today, and I will turn it back to Robert and Carolyn to see if there are any remarks before we open for public comment.
I just want to thank everyone for hanging in through some discussions today, about particularly given that we have done quite a bit already with ICAD and the annual report in the past. I think the group found the feedback to be very helpful in guiding further work, and I congratulate the ICAD task force on bringing in some really excellent work that can help to advance the field and the situation on the ground in this area. Thank you.
So, Lauren, do you want to do the public commentary a little early, or how are we going to do this?
Yes, I believe that wraps up our agenda for today. Put the phone number in the public chat, and we're pulling up the slide now. So at this point, we will ask the operator to open the line for public comment.
Thank you. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate the line is in the queue. You may press star 2 to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment while we pull for comments.
While we're waiting, Cheryl, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did, Robert. And I wanted to just call out you and Carolyn and thank you for your wonderful co-chair leadership work that you've done over the last 3 years. I know for many of us, this was a new endeavor, me particularly, and I feel like you guys did a fabulous job and just want to thank you for all of your hard work.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll check in with the operator to see if we have any comments at this time.
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. I'll ask the ONC team if there are any other comments from Elise or Avinash or Dr. Rucker.
Hey, Lauren, this is Avinash. Just a quick note to Ken. Thanks very much. Appreciate that feedback on the US CDI on-deck process, and we'll certainly review and identify if there are ways by which we can help the finding the level ones that are of potential value and supporting the high tech if that's the intent of high tech in the next year.
Great. And this is Elise. Just a huge thanks for all of the work that the high tech has done over this past year, and of course the upcoming work to come for the next year. Your feedback and your assistance looking at issues around health IT, as always, is extremely helpful to us here at ONC, so we appreciate it. And looking forward to the year to come. Thank you.
Hey, this is Steve Bosnick from OC. I also wanted to extend my thanks to Carolyn and Robert. It is always additional public service on top of public service to be the chairs of a federal advisory committee, and you two have done it masterfully. So appreciate all of your help and assistance in leading the high tech.
Thank you.
Yes, and I want to echo my thanks as well. It's been great working with Robert and Carolyn behind the scenes, and looking forward to continued participation. So with that, one last check for public comment.
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. With that, before we adjourn for the day, just want to, again, remind the public the final report will be posted on healthit.gov. For the committee's awareness, we will formally transmit the final report to Dr. Rucker in the next several days, and then that will conclude our activity for the year. I just want to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season, since this is the last time we'll chat in person, but please be on the lookout for additional communications for myself or ONC leadership before we wrap up the year. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert.
No, Lauren, thanks. And look, this is our last meeting of the year, and it's been an extraordinary year of things that none of us anticipated. And there are a lot of things we didn't get to do, like meet in person more. And I just want to say, it has been certainly my privilege and pleasure to serve as your chair along with Carolyn. I want to thank Carolyn for being a great co-chair with me and the ONC staff for their support. But it's been a great privilege for me to do this and to work with all of you. I think you saw the great deal of work we've accomplished as a HITAC, and I congratulate all of you on that work and thank you again for providing your time and talent to this important effort. There's a lot more work to be done, and certainly our agenda has been shifting a number of times for various external factors, but I appreciate your indulgence and your patience with all of that. But it is a very gratifying to see this come to an end, and thank you all for your work and your support, and thanks to ONC. Have a great rest of the holiday season.
And I'll just second my thanks to Robert for all his great work as a co-chair and for the fine efforts and engagement with ONC in being able to make this work come forward and to facilitate a really meaningful and, I think, effective committee process. Thank you.
Great. Thanks again. Any other final comments from HITAC members? Hearing none, we'll give you guys just about 50 minutes back to your day. Have a great rest of the week and take care.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. That's all I-